Let's just take a moment to pray. Father God, we pray that as we gather here, Lord, that you will speak to us. Lord, that you will give me a word for individuals here. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to your calling. That we will be ready to respond to you. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when I was a kid, and I visited my Tylehurst Nana and Grandad, as I called them, because they lived in Tylehurst, one of the things I used to enjoy about visiting Nana and Grandad was that they had gas. In our house, we only ever had electric for cooking and heating and all that stuff. Nanny and Grandad had gas for heating their water. And if we look at the first slide, that's an Ascot water heater. And they had one a bit like that in their kitchen, if I remember. Is that right, Dad? They did? And in the bathroom, they had an even bigger version of one of those. It was probably about that big. And what I used to like was at the front, there was an aperture, a hole. If I got on my tiptoes, well, because I was only quite small then, if I got on my tiptoes, I could look through the hole and you could see the little pilot light just gently moving with the air passing across it. You could see the pilot light there. And then, as you turn the tap for the water to flow, woof, the full burners, you get the big, big, big flame would come up. That was exciting. I used to like that. So I always made sure I visited the loo when I was a man and granddad so that I could have a look at the flames. Because we didn't have that at home, and I thought it was fascinating. There was a sort of a fascination with that. And today, we're looking at this subject of living as God's new people, a spirit-filled people. And I think there's a challenge for us, that whilst the Bible tells us that we have God's Holy Spirit living in us as Christians, are we pilot-light Christians or are we full-burner followers of Jesus Christ? The full-burners fueled by the filling of the Holy Spirit. What I'd like for us to do this morning is we're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the purpose of being filled by the Holy Spirit, and we're also going to look at what this particular passage says about being filled by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to also look at how we overcome the barriers to being filled by the Holy Spirit. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We talk of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all God. They are all one. But they have an individual character and an individual ability that affects us in different ways. Now, if you ask a person in the street what they think of the Holy Spirit, they would say perhaps it's a force or a power or it's the Holy Ghost. It's a ghost, isn't it? Or is it an angel? It's quite clear that the Holy Spirit is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, with whom we can have a relationship. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't just something that was there for the New Testament. The Holy Spirit has always been there. And if we look in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And we go to the next verse. I must have missed that one. I've got the wrong bit of that. But it says to me, the Spirit of God hovered above the waters. Hovered over the waters. So the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of all things for us. We've been there forever. Part of the Godhead. Part of the Trinity. So it's not a new invention for the New Testament believers. The Bible tells us too that the Holy Spirit is for all followers of Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, The Holy Spirit was there, obviously, because we see it was there in the beginning at creation. But we see that the Holy Spirit comes upon specific people at specific times for specific activities. Gideon was empowered by the Holy Spirit with bravery. Samson was empowered by the Holy Spirit with strength. The prophets were empowered by the Holy Spirit to prophesy. And if we look in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, and it says, "And afterwards I will pour out," this is a prophecy for what was to be coming actually, "and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." That was a prophecy from Joel of what was to be coming in the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all followers. And if we look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." As Christians, we are all sealed with the Holy Spirit, baptized into Christ with the Holy Spirit. But as Mark was demonstrating earlier, we have a choice as to whether we allow ourselves to be sealed or whether we want God to fill us completely. Now, Cleve read to us from the beginning of Acts what happened at Pentecost. And what happened at Pentecost was promised by Jesus. And it was also a fulfillment of these scriptures in Joel that we've just been looking at. And in John chapter 7 that Mark read earlier, verses 37 to 38, it says, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within.'" That was what Jesus promised. And in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And that event at Pentecost was when they were clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit from on high. That empowerment to go out and to witness to who God is. And in Matthew, we see at the very end, Jesus' commission, Matthew 28, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." A command for us as believers and followers to go out and baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit and in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son. So there's a very clear direction and a certainty that the Holy Spirit is what empowers us as individuals, but is also a witness. And we'll look a bit more about that later on as part of the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, and I think the very important part there is that what Mark referred to earlier, the passage that we looked at as well in John, that idea of streams of living water being in us. And with Mark's analogy of the sponge, the particular part of the passage that we're looking, that I'm very interested to look at right now, is the meaning of this bit: be filled with the Spirit. Those two words, be filled. They're based upon the Greek word pleru, which means to be filled. However, and this is where you may say, actually, I wasn't expecting to get a grammar lesson this morning, let alone a Greek grammar lesson. That particular verb, be filled, is in the present continuous tense. Now, I'm not a grammar expert, I can assure you. However, and I'm not even an English grammar expert, let alone a Greek grammar expert, but I have read that this verb in the present continuous tense has a meaning, which is, as I think Mark just slipped it in there, whether you thought he was just stumbling over his words, be being filled, or be continually filled, keep on being filled. It's not just a one-off, it's a keep on being filled. And if you like, going back to my picture of the boiler, when you've turned the tap on and the flames come on, you don't turn the tap off. I know environmentally conscious people amongst you might say, we should turn the hot water off so we don't waste electric and don't waste water, or gas, sorry, and water. But in this instance, we're encouraged to keep the flow, the hot water flowing. And being filled with the Spirit isn't just about the times when we come together as a church and worshipping and praying. Being filled and keep on being filled is about our daily worship, our daily quiet times, our daily being in God's presence. In this chapter, in verse 19, it says, sing and make music in your heart. And that's something we can do continually. Sing and make music in our hearts, that our hearts should be filled with the Holy Spirit such that we are overjoyed, that we will want to worship, we want to praise God in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, wherever we are. When we're in a traffic jam, when I'm waiting for my Outlook at work to respond, as I shared last week, that we should be praising God and be being filled and keep on being filled. So when we think about that sponge, a Mark sponge that he has here is a synthetic sponge, but if you have a natural sponge, they sort of get a bit of a hard exterior to them, and they're not particularly absorbent at first. But then if you put them in water, the outside starts to soften a bit, and then eventually the whole of the sponge absorbs the water. And as long as it's not clogged, every part of the sponge becomes filled. But we need to keep immersing it, because as Mark demonstrated earlier, it overflows with water, but it keeps on needing to be refilled. And we need to keep on being refilled in our daily walk with the Lord. As we come together, we need to be filled and keep on being filled. And to allow God to break down any hardness or reluctance that there is to be filled. So, what is the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we read in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts of the Spirit. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And these gifts are ones that are not for our status, my gift's better than your gift. Harold was talking the other week about us being united, part of the body. And these gifts are given for the benefit of the body. They are given to bless others. And in many occasions, we too are also blessed when we exercise these gifts that God endows upon us through his Holy Spirit. Whether it's a word of knowledge, or whether it's being able to help another brother or sister by sharing with them something that the Holy Spirit has revealed that might be helpful to them. That too, I should also point out, in verses 31 of that same chapter, it says, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and know that I will show you the most excellent way. Do you desire those gifts? Or do you see them perhaps as being surplus to your requirements? You don't need them? Maybe there's someone else in our fellowship will benefit from that gift. And if you're not exercising that gift that God has for you, then the rest of our body, the rest of our fellowship, perhaps, is suffering because we should desire the gifts that God has for each one of us. And that helps us in our unity. In Ephesians 4, as we looked at last week, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And it's the exercising of that Holy Spirit working through us that helps to unite us, because it's that one Spirit that unites us. A purpose of the Holy Spirit filling us is that we should be witnesses. In Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses not to doctrine, not to the church, but witnesses to Jesus, and witnesses to what Jesus has done for us, his salvation, and giving us a boldness, not from our own abilities or our own powers, but a boldness and an ability to share the truth from the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. He will provide what we need to witness. He will provide the circumstances for that, if we pray that he will do so. He will provide us with the words or whatever means we need if we are witnessing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Another purpose of the Holy Spirit is teaching. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He opens our eyes to reveal the truth of Scripture. And in a couple of weeks' time, we're thinking about the full armour of God in Ephesians 6. But the Word of God, in that it talks about the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword of the Spirit is the knowledge and application of Scripture, and is a very, very powerful weapon. If we think about it, when Jesus was baptized, in the Scripture, it tells us that directly after his baptism, he went out into the wilderness and was tempted. And it says that he was able to repel that temptation by quoting Scriptures, applying the Scriptures to the situation. He kept saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And the Holy Spirit equips us with the knowledge and application of Scripture to help us in our daily lives dealing with temptation and dealing with situations maybe that are clogging our pores. In John 16, verses 12 and 14, it says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." So, the Scriptures he will make known, and also he will make known those things which might be helpful for guidance. Maybe it's a word of knowledge for somebody else. Maybe there's a prophecy that we have for an individual or for other fellowship that might be a guide, help us and guide us in what we're to do. I'm mindful of the work that we have at Bridge Hall in Oasis, that David George stood up and spoke about Bridge Hall being used as a way of being outreach. And that was a prophetic word, I believe, that God was able to use to encourage us into this activity, which has been a blessing to us as a church and has been a blessing to our community. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, helps us in our prayer. Sometimes we just can't express what we really feel or what we really need. And the Holy Spirit filling us and in us can express that and pray. And so if we read in Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that the words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." The Holy Spirit working through us. And that might be praying in tongues. Now that's something that we believe that Christians should be doing praying in tongues, but privately necessarily, I think. So there may be a place for praying or for tongues in the services, but the Bible tells us that there should be interpretation. But certainly as a form of personal prayer, praying in tongues is very powerful in that it's the power of the Spirit that's praying through us, not us. And it's praying for the innermost desires of the Spirit in us, for us, and for those who God wants to bless through us. The purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is worship. Enjoying God's presence and allowing God's Holy Spirit to overflow in worship for our Creator, our Saviour, our Lord. Acts 10, it says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. That happened in Cornelius' house, where Peter was with Cornelius and with his family, and the Holy Spirit came upon these people, and they prayed and they worshipped in the Spirit and in the power of the Spirit. And enables us to worship God and give him the glory for who he is, our Creator, our Saviour, our Lord. The purpose of the Holy Spirit filling us too is to build our relationship with Jesus. Now, talking about relations, some of you will know that this is my mum and dad at the back here. Some of you may not know. This is my mum and dad. Love them to bits. They're great, great guys. But some of you will know that I am a person who tells some really bad jokes, bad puns. My brother's pretty good at them as well, bad puns. Where is he? There he is. And I have to say, I think it's my father's fault. He's responsible for the bad jokes and why I tell bad jokes. If you live with somebody and you're around them all the time, as I was for the first 21 years of my life, before I got married, you adopt some of their traits, some of their characteristics. And I guess I adopted that philosophy. If it's not punny, it's not funny. So being around my dad, we used to have it was at meal times when it sort of got to its pinnacle, the pun times. A subject would come up and we'd all try and see who could come up with the best pun around the subject. And it was quite competitive. And so I find myself, even now, all those years later, so 30 years later, that I still have this sort of word association thing that goes on in my head, and I have to think of a pun when somebody comes up with a different subject. And it drives the people at work a bit nuts sometimes. They keep groaning when I come out with these puns, and I think they just accept that it's me and just leave him alone, and he'll get back on with his work in a minute. But what I'm trying to get across here is that if we're spending time being filled with God's Spirit and in God's presence, being with him, we too will adopt the character, the traits of our Lord. I mean, our verse today, the first verse of chapter 5, be imitators of God. And if we look in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So if we have God's Holy Spirit filling us, we are closer to God, we understand his character, and we start to act and be imitators of God. We have his characteristics and become more Christ-like in the way we live. So why don't we know more of this? What are the barriers to being filled with the Holy Spirit? Perhaps doubt might be one. It's not going to happen. I mean, it was all right for the New Testament church at Pentecost, but this is the 21st century. This stuff doesn't happen now. We're far too sophisticated to have this spirit filling going on. Well, actually, if it's something that God promised, God's promises are true. If we look in Luke chapter 11, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. If God says something, his promises are true, and we can trust that. We might be frightened. There might be fear. Fearful of what might happen. Some people might say, well, it's a bit spooky. The Holy Spirit stuff, it's supernatural. Some of it, yes. Do we need to be frightened? No. Our Heavenly Father wants good things for us. If we look again in Luke chapter 11, continuing on from that last passage we were looking at, in verses 11 to 13, the passage talks about where if we ask for something good, if a child asks a father for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. And so much more, it says, if our Heavenly Father, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is something good. It's not there to harm us. And it's there for the benefit of ourselves and for the benefit of others in our fellowship. And for the benefit of those people who aren't yet in our fellowship, as we're talking about being witnesses to what God can do. Maybe it's inadequacy that you think you're not good enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That it's only people with a white collar that can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or it's people who have been Christians for a long, 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 long time. We were just thinking a minute ago about what happened in Cornelius' house, where Peter prayed with Cornelius and his family, and they were filled with the Spirit. They were new Christians, filled with the Spirit, and worshipped and prayed. It's something for all followers of Jesus, and we read again in Joel, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. It's for all of us, not for a privileged few. God wants to bless us all individually, to fill us all, so that we can know his power, blessing us and blessing others in our fellowship. So if you do feel inadequate, please, don't. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to bless you and fill you and empower you. We're all loved. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is an expression of God's love surrounding us, filling us, bringing us into God's presence where we can know and sense his love. Or perhaps the final barrier that I've got on my slide here is one of denial. You don't feel you need it. I've got it all sorted. I'm fine, thanks. I don't need that stuff. Well, that goes back a bit to this idea of, are you a pilot-like Christian? Or are you a full-burner follower of Christ? The Apostle Paul was certainly in denial of who Christ was and his call upon him. And he had a spectacular meeting with Christ. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit when Ananias prayed on him. And the Holy Spirit filled him, and his sight was restored. And his life was turned around in an amazing way. And God can fill our hearts with his Holy Spirit and use us in an amazing way that makes a difference to our lives, to the lives of people around us, and to the lives of people out there who need to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, so, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. I mentioned earlier about that hard sponge. If you've got a hard heart, it makes it difficult for the Spirit to bless you and to fill you. We must be open to the Holy Spirit. We mustn't quench the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit's fire. So we must learn to give over all we have, to allow every pore to be filled. Filled to overflowing. When we put the sponge in the sponge is in the water. And then the water is in the sponge. And the water is overflowing. And so we must be too. We must be in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us. Not so much about how much of the Holy Spirit can I be filled with, but more about how much of me will I allow to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not how much of the Spirit can I be filled with, but how much of me will I allow to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to keep on being filled. Be being filled. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Are you ready to ask? Are you ready to knock? Are you seeking? Are you asking for God to fill you and keep on filling you with His Holy Spirit and to bless you? And I think that's the challenge for each one of us. In our daily lives, in our times together, are we being filled?